Greetings this morning in Jesus' name. I was sitting here this morning and I was singing the first song, I believe it was. And I felt a thrill in my heart to know that I am part of God's plan. I am here assembled with people that love Him. These are my people. These are people that I associate with, and that we have a common purpose, us together, us as a people, as Christians. We have a spiritual connection. There's something spiritual about our connection. It's not necessarily just because we all think alike or like to do the same things or have the same interests in life. In one sense, we do. But it's because there's a spirit between us. There's a spirit that says, I know who you are, and I trust you. I felt an appreciation for you and a camaraderie. There's something about this issue of being a part of God's plan that creates a camaraderie. You're my comrades. I am yours and you are mine. And we're in this life together. It's not a little thing. I remember one time Brother Dean saying, the church is not an accidental gathering under a street lamp somewhere. It is a design of God. God Almighty wants us to be together and have this kind of camaraderie. I was thrilled with that this morning. The title of my message this morning is, I have four titles. Acceptance, peace, nothing is for nothing, and be still, my soul. You can decide which one fits best, I don't know. In my computer, as I saved my messages that I preach, I saved them in a certain place. And different churches I preach at, and I save this and under Living Hope, and the title I put there was just simply acceptance. Acceptance. Accepting your circumstances without chafing against them. Peace. Finding peace in your life regardless of circumstances. Peace. Nothing is given to you without a purpose and a reason. From God. Circumstances beyond your control, they're not given to you just spontaneously for no reason. All things that happen to us, they have a reason. They have a purpose. And number four, be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. I'm not prophesying when I preach this message. I'm not trying to say that we're going to have some really hard times coming in the near future. I'm not trying to say that we have a major problem with accepting our circumstances. I'm not trying to say that. What I am trying to say is that when we can find this place of accepting what God has for us, when we can find that peace that God has for us, when we can acknowledge that everything that happens to me has a plan and a purpose, and our soul can be still, that's what I want to promote this morning. As a noun, the word acceptance, one definition of that, or one of the definitions for it is... In the context of law, it is words signifying consent to the terms of an offer. Acceptance. I accept your offer. I will take what you offer, what you give, whatever. I accept your offer. That's words, and they are powerful. But more so than words are our actions. What do we do when we say, I accept your offer, I accept what you've given me. How we respond to that, not only in words, but with our life in actions, says more. My father-in-law used to say, and I may have said this before, you can tell more about a person by their reactions than you can their actions. Granted, actions, and I'm telling you, actions make a difference, but reactions are a matter of suddenly you have to respond, and you respond without thinking, spontaneously. What's in you comes out. Acceptance. Can we complain about our lot in life and still say we're committed to God and His ways? Can we complain about our lot in life and still say we're committed to God? I thought, Brother Timothy, as you were speaking, maybe it was after you were speaking, it's during the children's lesson, I thought, what Brother Timothy was talking about was the open hand policy. I don't hold on to anything tightly and strongly and refuse to let it go. This is mine. I don't do that. As far as when I am willing to say, I am the Lord's, and what He gives me is totally up to me, and I can accept it or reject it, and if I accept it, I say, thank you, Lord. If I reject it, I say, no, God, that's not right. Something's wrong here. Can we complain about our lot in life and still say we are committed to God and His ways? That's a good question. I ask myself these questions too. We all like peace. It's all very natural to like peace. We just like to have peaceful settings and things that are not in a turmoil and things that don't cause stress or strife. We like peace. Naturally so. In the world today, there's very little peace. I did a little bit of research and it said, there's 56 countries that have war in them right now, involving 92 countries, the other countries involved in this. No peace in the world. I got to wondering, has the natural disasters increased over time? Thinking about peace. And according to the a committee that somebody put together in the Institute for Economics and Peace said it revealed an increase of, I don't know, what is it? I don't know. 39 incidents in 1960, 396 incidents in 2019. Now, I don't know when they started counting. I don't know. I don't know a lot of things about it. But I'd say it tells us there is an increase of world catastrophes. There's a tremendous amount of war going on. It is just prophecy being fulfilled. We're getting closer to the end of time when the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, like I think Timothy read this morning. We're thinking about acceptance. You know, Jesus said one place, He said, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. You know what else He said? Right after that? He said, and see that ye be not troubled. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. The end is not yet. It is the hand of God that is allowing these things to happen. Nothing God does is of no value or worthless. Nothing God allows is of no value or worthless. Nothing. Really? He is never surprised at the circumstances we encounter. He's never surprised when you run up against something or something happens to you. God never says, uh-oh, what do I do now? God knows. To fight what God has ordained is a losing battle. We will not win. To resist what God has ordained to be and to happen is a losing battle. We will not win. There's no possibility of proving God wrong. None. Everything that happens to us, God has a purpose in it. We can trust Him that He will only give us those things that by His grace, by His power, we can overcome. This is where surrender comes in. We're thinking about acceptance. Surrender. Surrender. Trust. Surrender my will. What I want. What am I entitled to? Do I deserve more than this or better than this? Why is this happening to me? I don't think this should be mine. That must have been for somebody else. We don't fight anymore. We don't complain. We accept. These things that happen to us sometimes are not even a result of our own doing. Sometimes things that happen to us, the things that are hard for us to accept and appreciate, are really a result of our own doing. And I know this might go back a little far, but I'll go back here and say, God gave man a choice in the garden, and I'm going to dare say I am no different than Adam. You're no different than Eve. If you were there, you would do the same thing. I think you would have. So really, it's not God's fault. God told us, He told Adam and Eve what not to do, what to do and what not to do, and they disobeyed. They brought on themselves much misery, much turmoil and confusion. We're in the same place. Elizabeth Elliot was the one that I think, what I understood, what I found, what I could see, was that coined the phrase, "Nothing is for nothing." And I'm not holding her up any higher than anybody else, but she had some pretty severe circumstances in her life, disappointing circumstances, and yet nothing is for nothing. Now, we're a little like Brother Timothy said this morning. We live here in America, and we have a lot of nice things. I mean, I think somebody told me that yesterday, I think, that the CAM thing that Gary Miller said that there, he looked it up, and he said that there was 15% of the people in the world own a car. 85% don't own a car. Well, we think, hey, wait a minute. We got to have a car. We need a car. We will have a car. And maybe in our circumstances we do. But at the same time, we're not any better than that 85%. We didn't deserve this any more than they. And that's not to say that they're at a great disadvantage just because they don't have a car. But it does help us to see that, you know, some of these things that we think are so absolutely necessary, America lives in a bubble. We're a very wealthy country, and there's very few. Most of the world does not have anyways near the luxuries we have. That doesn't make them any better, any worse. That's better, any worse. It just makes us realize that we really don't have anything to complain about. For that reason, if nothing else. Jesus said one time, "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in many places, diverse places." That's what He said. We can expect this is what's going to happen to us. We're going to have trials. Now, when we talk about that, that's a trial. Who knows? And I don't know. Will there ever be war on American soil? Probably, but I don't know. Probably. And we're not that far from Washington, D.C. We're not that far from... We're not out of range of all the missiles. We're not out in Utah somewhere or Arizona. I don't know what we'll see. But we have this promise. We shall never be separated from the love of Christ. We have that option, and He has that commitment. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. All those things will not separate us from the love of Christ. But he says, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors. We have overcome these things. Peace is not about necessarily about outward circumstances. I was thinking the other morning about, just thinking, and I remember the verse in Jeremiah says, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, a lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. This happened because Jesus was born and Herod didn't like it. The devil wanted him destroyed. God, of course, is bigger and stronger, knows everything. So he took Jesus out down to Egypt. And all those babies back at that time, I don't know how many there would have been, hundreds or thousands, those boy babies were just killed, slaughtered because Jesus was born. There's a place for grief. It's a human emotion. It is something that is just natural. God gave it to us. We can grieve. I'm not talking about that when I say peace. There is a place, even in the deepest of grief, still there's peace. There can still be peace. So here are these children, these mothers were weeping because they would not be comforted because their children were not. See, I'll give you a little idea, a little bit, I don't know if I've done it, been able to share this or show this, but there's a place where things are not going smoothly. Things are not going the way we'd like them to go, but it's okay. God knows. God has a plan. God has a purpose. Even when you lose all your things, Brother Larry. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Peace is not the absence of turmoil, it is the presence of God. Let me give you six ways to lose peace. You can forfeit peace in this way. Something happens, whatever it is, and your life is all of a sudden turned upside down, and maybe you don't know what to do. And it just seems like everything's against you. And it seems like it's not fair. It's not the way it should have been. I don't know why. I did everything I should have done right. This is how you can lose your peace. Try to remove any reminders of it and forget it. Just, okay, I'm not going to think about that anymore. Peace comes with acceptance. Peace doesn't come with rejection. Number two, stay so busy there's no time to think about it. Stay so busy there's no time to think about it. There's no time to deal with it. There's no time to consider what it's all about. Number three, denial. Refuse it. Put up a facade. It didn't happen. I'm not going to let it be there. I'm not going to pretend there's just no pain. Number four, ways you can lose your peace. Resign yourselves to a life of misery. Okay, this is just me. And you'll find yourself being very unlikable to be around. Number five, focus on that hurt and misery. I said earlier, try to remove any reminders of it. What I'm saying is that's unacceptance. I'm saying if you want to lose your peace, focus on the hurt and the misery. Just focus on that kind of a thing, that what happened to me and how miserable this is. And number six, worry about it. Worry what might happen or or worry that this should have done different and what should I do? Just worry. There is a way to find peace. Accept this new way of living. I read a little story about a lady that, I think it was a lady, I'm not sure who it was. Lady that was busy, productive, had her family. She hosted them and she had a, just life was just going just like she wanted it to. This is several years ago. Suddenly she found out she had polio. And it didn't take very long till all of life changed. All those things she used to do, could not do anymore. She had a choice. She could say, I'm going to accept this. Find the good in it. Or she could say, like was already said, I don't like it. And just continually be looking back and resenting what it was and what it is, what she can't do. She could accept this new way of living. Number two, or maybe in addition to that, accept it as something God is giving to you for your benefit. You know, when we give our child a gift, we give it to them intending it to be a blessing to them. We give a gift hoping that it will not hurt them in any way. But yet, sometimes God knows more than we do. He knows what we need. He knows where we'll best prosper. It may seem pretty hard sometimes. You can look at Job. He lost everything. Look at Jacob there when he lost Joseph, or he thought he did. He said his life was, I don't remember how he said it, his life departed from him or something like that. Or maybe he said that when they asked Benjamin to go back. He said, if Benjamin never comes back, I'll lose my life. And that's just some examples. When we give our child, we give a gift. When God gives us something, it's a gift. He may do something that makes us stop and think, boom, I can't go any farther. He may do that to us, but it's a gift to us. If we can see that everything that God allows in our life as a gift that God is giving us with the intention of blessing us. In John 14, Jesus talks about he's going to go away, but he's going to send a comforter. That's what he said he would do. He would send a comforter. We can trust that when God sends us something, when God allows us to go through something, he's never going to leave us, and he's always going to provide something for us. He provided the comforter, the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the comforter to you. I have 6 or 7 things here. I think it's 7 or 8. I forget. Things about, I called it the meaning of acceptance. What it means to accept. And number one, trust in God. Faith in his sovereign will. We get a hold of that. I trust you, Lord. I have faith that your will is sovereign and you have only my good in mind. In Job, he talks about God. Let me explain this. With him, God, is wisdom. Let's consider now this person, this God that I'm going to describe. He is the one in control of everything. And he's just explaining who God is. And he said, with him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding, nothing lacking. He understands everything perfectly. He knows how you're going to act and react. He knows what's good for you. He knows what's not good. He knows all those things. He in him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, this is the almightiness of God. He breaketh down and it cannot be built again. Cannot be built again. That's God. He shutteth up a man and there can be no opening. He withholdeth the waters and they dry up. He sendeth them out and they overturn the earth. Again, with him is strength and wisdom. This is God that has control of all things, that we need to accept him and the things he allows in our lives. Trust God. He is greater than all our problems. Acceptance. If you do something, there is a way out of this acceptance. There is a way, not out of it, there is a way to deal with these things that happen to us. There is a way to find peace in our circumstances. There is a way. And it is an acceptance. But let me say this. If you have committed a sin and you have done something you know you shouldn't have done, what are you supposed to do with that? Well, repent. Ask forgiveness. Believe he has forgiven. That's important. Believe he has forgiven. Therefore, you let it go. This is acceptance of God's forgiveness. If it was not a sin, and you have done it somewhat innocently, maybe even ignorantly, maybe it's a mistake, something you should have done differently, but human frailty is what made you do it. Accept that. I'm talking about a spirit of acceptance, a spirit of peace, a way to live my life in honor to God. Sometimes you have to accept things that you have done that involve others. You know you did it innocently. You can accept that. It gets a little more difficult here sometimes when you know you've done something that hurt others and there's nothing you can do to change it. How do you accept that? You simply have to say, Lord, I did my best. I didn't do it purposely. Pray for them and accept in your heart, your own heart, that you're not this horrible, awful person that did this to somebody and now what? There is a way of peace. We can find peace by accepting the things we need to accept. Number two, we have situations come up in our life. We may even have people come up in our life that are difficult. To accept that situation, whatever it is that might come up, maybe we get polio, or maybe we have a difficult person at work, or wherever it may be, it just seems like you just can't get along with them. The way to handle that is to accept them without an expectation or change in them. Let them be who they are. You don't have to fight them. You don't have to resist them. They are who they are. Okay. Or maybe someone does something that just kind of irritates you. You know, some of you have a pet peeve about something and this person you're close to just kind of always does that. Well, the way around that is not to let that thing continue to eat at you or bother you. The way around it is to accept it. They're not doing it on purpose. And it's your problem. You're the one that's irritated. They're not. Accept it. This is my problem. This is my thing to deal with. Number three, be thankful. Being thankful is the meaning of acceptance. You know, many times we pray, Lord, I want to do your will. What do you want from me? Just show me your will. I'll do your will. Just give me the word. Well, here's the word. One of these things. This is the word. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's the word God has for us. What does the Lord want from me? Be thankful. Acceptance is praising God. It is trusting God. Complaining is suggesting to God that he did something displeasing to you. He didn't do it right. I wonder how much different we would live if we could see the price and the cost that Jesus paid there on the cross. I don't know. Maybe we think we do see it. Maybe we do. Maybe I don't. The price, it was not only was it human life that Jesus as a man had to subject himself to, the scourging and the thorns and the cross and the spear and the ridicule. It was also, and I don't know how to put this in a way that makes it big enough, but it was also separation from his Father. Somehow, I don't understand it, pardon me if I'm not saying it right, but somehow God himself, he became, we say, three persons. I don't know if he did or not, but whatever. He was God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And he let that one part of him die. I don't know. Was God still in heaven when Jesus was on earth? Well, I think so. Jesus prayed to the Father. I don't know. I'm just saying that when we find ourselves being unthankful, we are resisting God. The meaning of acceptance, we already talked a little bit about this, is serenity and peace. Some words I think of, when I can find myself accepting my lot in life, I accept it, who I am, I accept what's going on. I still have to do something with it, but I'm not resisting and fighting and saying, why God? Or I'm not saying, I don't like this. Rather, I say, when we can find that place serene, calm, peaceful, at ease, not worrying, no anxiety, no fear, full of faith, at rest. Peace. You've all heard the little prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It's a good little poem there. Accept the things I cannot change. The serene ability, the calmness to accept the things I can't change. Courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. There is a difference. Number 5, acceptance is not defeat. It could easily be that whenever we have something we have to deal with, that or a person that's already along with, whatever it is, if I just accept that person the way they are, if I just accept the situation the way it is, it's like saying, I give up. It's not. That's not what that's saying. It is the acknowledgement of the truth. Here's a fact. We acknowledge here's a fact. And I can accept that as a fact. That is not defeat. That's accepting the fact. In fact, you know, it's not defeat. It takes a stronger person to do that than it does to just look at it as defeat. Okay, I'm beat. I'll let him have his way. I'm done. That doesn't take a very strong person. It takes a stronger person to say, I'm going to accept it. I'm not going to resist it. Acceptance is acceptance, and this is a little bit similar, embracing the facts, not running from them. Not just simply letting the facts be there, but embracing that, saying, ah, this is for my good. This is what God wants for me. I accept that. I embrace it. It's okay. Thank you, Lord. And probably one thing that we maybe, some of us have to deal with more than others, is just accepting ourselves for who we are. To be discouraged or disheartened is not really accepting myself, accepting what God has for me or the way God has made me. Acceptance is accepting ourselves for who we are. Obviously, there's a place for improvement. I'm not saying anything about that. Yes, we can always improve, but not letting that get to the place of discouragement. And the last one is accepting our position in life. If I'm a son or a daughter, which we all are, one or the other, are we honoring our parents? Are we honoring them? Not just tolerating, not just get out of their mind, so sure, but actually honoring them. Those of you who are parents and have some older children who have the option and they can make the decision whether they're going to honor you or not. I hope none of you have ever experienced the feeling or the experience of the parent, the children dishonoring you. But you also know, I'm sure, the feeling and appreciation you have when a child honors you. Clearly, they honor you. They look up to you. They appreciate you. They say nice things about you, and they mean it. Honor them. It is accepting our position in life as a son or daughter. My place is to honor my father and my mother. My father and mother are gone now. I can't do that to any benefit to them, or it can be a blessing to me, though, for me to keep that, hold them in that place of honor. And you know, it happens, and some of you understand what I'm saying. When mom and papa die, sometimes it seems like they suddenly, in my mind, they take a little higher place. I wish I would have given that when they were alive. Something about them, you look back at the things they did or didn't do, the things they said or didn't say, who they were. You find really a genuine appreciation, more so than, which is not to my benefit or credit, but it just seems like that happened. That happened to me. But to accept our position in life and honor our parents. If we're a father, to accept that position as one of responsibility to maybe do things that it's not natural for me to do. I mean, like purposeful, deliberate questions and attention and time spent with son or daughter. Maybe it's not natural. But it is accepting your position, or mama. It is accepting your position to do what we know to do, and even to mentor and to disciple our children. If you could at any moment in time in your life, and you can, I encourage you to do this. At any moment, at any time in your life, you run up against something, or you realize something is a bit of an irritation to you, or you're not sure about this thing and you feel a little resistant to it, ask Jesus what to do. What would he do in a situation like this? What would he do? And we just simply assume, and it's right to assume this, that he did everything right. He's perfect in everything, and he has all the answers. And he will speak to you. He speaks to you through the word. He speaks to you as you have taught yourself to your conscience. And sometimes he can even speak to you in a, I don't know why I'm saying this or doing this, but it feels like I should. I've had that happen. Was that God? I don't want to take it away from God if it was. So I'm going to give him the credit. Ask Jesus, is this what I should be doing right now? Is this what you want me to do? What should I do? What should I do? Stop and think. Probably the biggest advantage of that is you stop and wait a minute, think about, instead of just kind of naturally reacting, stop yourself and say, wait a minute. Let's think about this a little bit. What would Jesus have me to do? Things happen to us in life. Some things we appreciate, some things we enjoy, some things we don't. But remember, nothing is for nothing. God is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. He makes no mistakes. He forgives completely. He accepts entirely. He loves unreservedly. He is trustworthy. He is eternal and never changes. You can depend on him. He is dependable. His word is true. Everything he says is true. His judgment, pure. No partiality at all. He never does anything wrong. What he allows can turn to our good, depending on us. This is God who gives us all and allows all these circumstances in our life. This is God. So for us to resist those circumstances is resisting a God who is perfect. It is in our power to accept this and be blessed. Little poem Hannah Hernard wrote. I'll read it to you, then I'll be done. In acceptance lieth peace. Oh, my heart, be still. Let thy restless worry cease and accept his will. Though this test be not thy choice, it is his. Therefore, rejoice. His plan there cannot be aught to make thee sad. In his plan there cannot be aught to make thee sad. If this is his choice for thee, take it and be glad. Make from it some lovely thing to the glory of thy King. Cease from sighs and murmuring. Sing his loving grace. This thing means thy furthering to a wealthy place. From thy fears he'll give release. In acceptance lieth peace. In acceptance lieth peace. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we pray that the things we have spoken this morning have been true. They have been worthwhile. They have been encouraging, uplifting, edifying. And Father, if they have not, that I just pray we could make them correct some way. But Father, we do thank you that we can trust you absolutely. We have a God that is, it's hard to explain. And we are the children of that God. And that God, you, Almighty God, have promised your blessing on us. You love your people. And you want all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You sent your Son to die for us here. Every single soul could and can partake of that offering. We have been given much, Lord. We acknowledge that. Not necessarily entitled to anything, except because of your promise that you would never forsake us nor believe us. We are entitled to that because you said it, not because of what we said. So, Father, as we stand before you this morning, oh, may it never be said of us. May we never stand before your judgment seat someday and you have to say, you didn't accept what I gave you. You rejected it. But rather you could say, well done. Help us, Lord, to have that kind of a spirit and to be willing to, irregardless of circumstances, trust you. Hold on in faith that this is good. God is good. Everything he does is good. He cannot be anything but good. Help us, Father, to find that place of total trust where acceptance becomes a natural thing. And Lord, as we walk down our pathway of life, help us to be an example to others. To be true from the inside out. Not just on the outside, but in our hearts. We are truly given over to accept and believe that all things work together for good. We trust you. That's our lot. That's our place. So, Father, thank you for these things. We love you. We worship you. You are Almighty God. We could ask for nothing greater or nothing better. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.